That is the mandate from the Eastern Cape. Can we engage with the mandate? Honorable members. Honorable Martina.
No, Chair, I thought we would go through all of them so that then we can engage with the mandate.
Okay. Then the second province is the Free State. The Portfolio Committee on Police, Roads and Transport, as designated by the Free State Legislature, proposed employing amendments to the bill. Observations, inputs, and amendments by the committee. Chapter 1, the proposed amendment, the safety and security to be substituted for policy. MEC means the member of the Executive Council of a province who is responsible for policy in that province. The motivation is that the former Department of Safety and Security has been changed into the Department of Police. Reference must refer to the police for reconfiguration and consistency. Page 4, line 20, the proposed amendment, the constitution must be defined in the definition sections. Constitution means the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996. The motivation is that mention is made here for the first time to the Constitution without this full citation being provided in the definition section. Number 3, the definition of systemic corruption should also be included. Chapter 2, clause 6, 2 and 3, which deals with the appointment of the executive director, must state further what happens in the event when the portfolio committee rejects the appointment. Clause 6, 2, putting the rejection or appointment to the decision of the parliamentary committee may create an oversight problem for parliament as separate arm of the state regarding the performance of the incumbent, because parliament will technically be reviewing its appointment decision if the decision may be that the incumbent be removed. Chapter 4, the establishment of the consultative forum to be escalated to provincial level with same functions and inclusions of CPF provincial board chairperson, CPF national board chairperson for the national level. Chapter 5, Clause 21, there must be the inclusion of referrals of disciplinary matters to the relevant provincial commission. Chapter 6, page 12, at length 26, the proposed amendment is to substitute station commissioner for station commander. The station commander or any member of the South African Police Service or Municipality Police Service must. The station commander is the correct reference as opposed to the commissioner in the police force. And the clause 29, 1A, to read, immediately after becoming aware, notify the directorate of any matters referred to in section 28, subsection 1A to F. The motivation being the clause 29, G and H matters are matters referred to by the executive director, the MEC, the minister, or the secretary. Chapter 9, page 13 to line, at line 42, proposed amendment, section 33, subsection 3, should read, any police officer who fails to comply with section 29 and 30 is guilty of an offense and liable on conviction to a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 2 years. The motivation being the insertion of section 30 places a responsibility and weight on the seriousness of any dereliction of responsibility by the national or provincial commissioner to implement recommendations by IPED. The recommendations that the authority be conferred to the permanent delegate to vote in favor of the bill in the above amendment. Gauteng. Uh, The Gauteng Provincial Legislature supports the principle and the detail of the bill and therefore vote in favor of the Independent Police Investigative Directorate Bill. We will go to page 3, heading overview of public hearings and submissions. The committee held public hearings on the iPad on the 20th of October. Verbal and written submissions were therefore acknowledged from the various organizations listed below. The CPF, South African National Organizations, Community Development Workers, and Patrol of Coups. The following concerns were raised during the hearings. The decentralization of IP processes throughout the regions in the province to ensure accessibility, efficiency, and reasonable turnaround time on police misconduct and other police-related matters falling under the jurisdiction of IP was emphasized during the hearings. The bill does not provide for the establishment of IP offices. However, the general public feeling is that within reasonable and available resources, there needs to have IP offices in all police stations. The issue of resources, particularly capacity and efficiency, was raised as a serious concern in terms of service delivery. It is felt that in order to ensure maximum efficiency of the IP and to improve the tarnished reputation of its predecessor ICD, more resources and competent human resources should be made available to this structure. Different stakeholders felt that the appointment of investigators as stated in the bill is going to be a mechanism of addressing the scourge of unemployment in South Africa. It is felt that the requirements for the appointment of investigators should be relaxed, should not be too stringent in order to accommodate applicants who may fill the minimum qualification requirements but may not have the requisite experience. Furthermore, CPS feel that they should be considered or rather given preference in the recruitment of investigators due to the commitment demonstrated in fighting crime without any remuneration as well as experience obtained in serving the CPS. Accountability of the IP was also raised, and it is felt that the IP would have to account on regular basis to oversight structures such as Parliament and provincial legislatures as a measure of determining its success and identifying areas that need improvement. The communities also felt that it will be imperative that investigators go through a vetting process before they are appointed. There are different types of matters that are going to be investigated. Of interest in the bill for community members is that the directorate must investigate any deaths in police custody and deaths as a result of police action. The civilians recommend that the deaths in correctional service centers should be considered as well. It was further raised that since the IPT is an independent body, it could also be vested with the authority to prosecute independently. In respect of financial implications, the committee noted that there will be implications in terms of remuneration of investigators as well as operational cost of the directorate. However, it is not clear in the bill how the budget will be allocated. The social impact assessment. The provision of the bill is acknowledged to provide the directorate with the mandatory powers and functions to operate independently. It encourages citizens to have faith in reporting serious cases of misconduct against police. It illustrates the importance of an independent investigative body similar to others in the world to tackle serious police misconduct. It will instill confidence in government's attempt to improve the integrity in the police service. While the Secretariat will monitor police efficiency and effectiveness, the Directorate will investigate inefficiency to the police in carrying out their duty, such is acknowledged as it complements the work of the Secretariat. The bill establishes the civilian secretariat in line with the prescriptions of the Constitution, and this ensures the much needed independent oversight on policing functions. Point 7, the views of the department. The department was invited on the 12th October to present its views on the bill. In its presentation, the department fully supported the bill and what it seeks to achieve. The department further echoed a similar sentiment as the committee that all law enforcement agencies must be included in the ambit of the bill. It should not be limited to subs only. The committee concerns. The bill states that the remuneration of investigators will be on the same par as sub-investigators. The committee is of the view that the directorate will be a specialized entity. There has to be a distinction in terms of remuneration. This will be important in ensuring that investigators will not in any way be tempted to be involved in corruption. The committee observed that the financial implications are not clearly articulated. Although the directorate will be a continuation of the existing ICD, it will be important for the directorate to clearly stipulate the cost of implementation of the bill as well as other operational expenditures. The committee is concerned with how the penalty of wrongdoing was reached, that it is a fine or imprisonment of a period not exceeding 2 years. The committee feels that such a penalty may not be sufficient to ensure that reoccurrence of misconduct does not happen. This penalty may also place limitations on the jurisdiction of the court. The committee recommends that the financial implications must be articulated in writing, although the directorate will be a continuation of the ICD. In order for the directorate to be operational, there will be cost incurred. The salary payable to an investigator appointed under this act must not be on same level as members appointed as detectives in terms of the South African Police Service Act. The committee recommends that the investigator must be paid better as believed to be a specialized entity, particularly because the qualifications experienced are pivotal in recruitment. Although the establishment of provincial head is noted, it will be important for the bill to state in writing that the same line of reporting at the national level is applied on provincial level as well. This will be important for the provincial legislature to conduct its oversight role on the functioning of the directorate in order to establish if its intended objectives are carried out efficiently. That the bill should not limit itself to such members only, as there are other law enforcement agencies such as the traffic police, etc., that are not immune to misconduct or any other charge that may be leveled against the subs. The committee safety portfolio committee supports the principle and details of the Independent Police Investigative Directorate Bill, subject to the consideration of the recommendations raised in item 9 above. KZN. The following comments and amendments were proposed and considered on the bill. Clause 7.3a. The executive director must appoint such staff as may be necessary to enable the directorate to perform its functions in terms of subject to Section 21 of this Act. The functions of the committee. Point 1 in Section 13. Composition of the consultative forum, clause 16. The same recommendation as in 2.10.2 of the Civilian Secretariat for Police Bill applies to clause 16 of the IPED, which deals with the consultative forum only comprising the executive director and the secretary of police and does not contain provision of a provincial arrangement. The clause 21, the responsibilities of the provincial head, that point one in section 21 should be deleted, be related to the tenure of the preceding paragraph. A concern must be raised in respect of clause 21 of the IPED bill. This clause provides for the responsibility of the provincial head of the directorate. It only makes reference to reporting to the MEC in those matters referred to by the MEC. Whereas in terms of section 206, subsection 3 of the provincial, the provincial executive clearly has a role to monitor all matters pertaining to police conduct which are dealt with by the directorate. It is therefore strongly recommended that the provisions for reporting to the MEC be expanded to include all matters dealt with by the national head of the directorate. Clause 22, appointment of the investigator. That clause 22.2, delete the clause completely or leave it open as it provided in section 28 of the South African Police Act. The committee agreed to mandate the KZN delegation to the HOP to support the bill, provided that the above comments and proposed amendments are considered and consolidated in the bill. Mpumalanga. The committee recommends that the permanent delegation to the NCOP should negotiate in favor of the bill, taking into consideration the input of the public and the following recommendations made by the committee respectively. Clause 6.2. The relevant parliamentary committee of the National Assembly must within a period of 30 parliamentary working days of the nomination in terms of subsection 1 recommend to the House to either confirm or reject such nomination. Clause 7.1b, the executive director is the accounting officer of the directorate and must ensure that as soon as practical, but not later than 4 substituted by 2 months after the end of each financial year. Annual financial statements in respect of the financial year in person are prepared and submitted to the minister for approval. Clause 8, if the security clearance certificate referred to in subsection 7 is withdrawn, the person concerned is unfit to continue to hold such office and the executive director must, after following labor law processes, discharge him or her from office. Honorable
Matthew. I'm not sure, just trying to check. Possibly the department has received all these negotiating mandates. Wasn't it easier for us, for the department, to indicate in terms of all provinces as to what are the issues that are raised by the provinces and issues that they think must be in this new bill so that we can then start negotiating on those specific issues? Because I thought if we go through them this way, we'll have to come back to the department and indicate as to what are the main issues. How does these issues affect the principles of the bill, and, you know, as proposed, you know, as put forward to us? Because I thought if we can go that route, it will assist us to, it will, besides saving time, but it will also assist us to deal with the real issues within the bill itself, as proposed by the provinces.
Thank you very much. I'm Lina Ramesele from the Eastern Cape. I agree with what Gauteng is saying. It will be meaningful of us looking at what the challenges are in terms of issues that are not common. And I think if the department can assist us on that, because as you are reading through, you could see there are lots of issues where provinces are saying the same thing, but there are other issues where provinces are not saying the same thing. If the department can lift those and we start negotiating on those, I think it will be a fruitful exercise.
Chairperson, no, I'm happy that the ANC was listening to COPE for now. That I've discussed it with my colleagues now there, and we agree on that. I'm very much happy that we are still the same. Thank you very much.
But it is normal that anybody that is coping is always referring to the same Saturday.
Mr. Chair, I agree on this, the way that the members are proposing, but I would like to suggest that if we ask the department to support us in this venture, we must make differences between administrative and fundamental constitutional issues, because that they are different. As I feel, a lot of people are talking about administrative procedure of remuneration, of appointing persons, that is a kind of thing, but we have fundamental constitutional differences that we also must just bring to the table so that we can make a good decision. Otherwise, I think the good idea of this law and bill will not reach the high moral standards that we would like to expect from them. Thank you.
I think we all agree that we should give over to the department to raise those issues that are not similar from the mandate from the provinces.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Chairperson, maybe just a note from a procedural point of view. We only received these documents this morning in this room. For us to effectively respond and analyze these documents, we need some time to do that, because we want to give a proper input to the department, because I think the members raised important issues. Some of the issues are constitutional. It's not within our domains. We would really like to respond to those administrative and reorganizational issues that's been raised, that's within our parameters. So, Chairperson, if it's at all possible, we'll need some time to go through the documents and give you a proper informed response.
Honourable Chair, does this therefore mean that even if you run it through as you were doing earlier, would that help them? Because what I read from the gentleman there is that even if you would run it province by province, they would still need some time to assess and see if this fits their scope.
Honourable Matila.
Yeah, Chair, I think we are sitting with some problem, because you see, even ourselves, most of us have just received most of the documents, mandates from the different provinces, you see. And I'm not sure as to how do we deal with that situation, because as I thought, if given some time, you know, the department will indicate as to whether, in terms of the mandates, you know, do they seriously differ with the bill as it stands, you know. Because most of the provinces are saying they support with some amendments. And my understanding is, going through a few of them, there are only two major issues where provinces are saying the bill must be in line with the constitution of the country. And that's how I read some of the situations. I'm not sure as to, because if they need time, it means this exercise might be a fruitless exercise. Yeah, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Question. Thank you. I think members are correct. If we learn from the experiences of Section 76 Act, when we deal with other bills, the department will collect all inputs from various provinces and then make a presentation and also indicate diversion in terms of province by province, and therefore we're able to engage as provinces in terms of that. But now, as we approach it, it's like we are all technocrats, now we're beginning to do something that might be very difficult for us to put politics and all sorts of things behind it. I would say, I'm not sure of the cycle where we are now, where the time frames are not going to sort of constrain. If it was within time frame, would give department one day to work on that, I don't know. But either that all committees and people are from provinces, we might not be able to make a quick arrangement of the next city, where the department would come. And some of us who shall have read also, consulted each other, lobbied, whatever, if that is the case. I'm not sure of the time frame. If we are still within the cycle, the department must go ahead and work, if they are well to do this. Like other departments, when they used to do, they would do collect and present on this section 76, if they are work, and then we come and put whatever we put as agreed by the provinces. I would suggest, I don't know who would advise us in terms of the cycle, where we are, whether it's going to be beaten by time or what.
Thanks, Chair. You see, the technical problem that we would have, Chair, is that this session is meant for negotiating mandate, which means we have to talk in this recorded format, in this public meeting, as the province, as we have these documents before. The only thing, the lapse has been the time frames of receiving the mandate. I think that's the technicality that we are faced with. And bearing in mind, Chair, that from now, we're working on the B bill, we will be moving, I think, into the C bill for the final mandate, I guess, in terms of the Mandating Procedures Act, Chair. So, in essence, there is a need for us to do some work, to come out with some framework that indicates at least, you know, where do we stand in some of the issues. So as we proceed in whatever format, Chair, I think those are the things we need to bear in mind. I'm not too sure in terms of processing that, but this is a negotiating session amongst ourselves as provinces, and then to come to a consolidation of some sort. So I think that's what the purpose of this meeting needs to achieve, Chair. I guess we can't move away from that one. Thank you, Chair.
Hello, Chairperson, I will agree with the members who are saying that we must give the department chance to go through this, through all these documents, and then come back, even if it is a day or 2 days, for us to talk about the input. But it will be very difficult even for them to respond now, because they are also saying, because this paper here, it will be very difficult for them really to have any input. So I will agree with the members to say, let's give them time. Thank
you.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, we don't have DSX much, a solution from heaven now that could assist the process. But I would suggest that where provinces agree, we agree.
Yeah.
We agree.
Yeah.
Maybe something that would synergize what Pralu is saying, that all provinces have agreements. And we make it that mandate to say we all agree with whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Where there is diversion, as we move towards C, we see how we can come and consider those diverging view to make the integral part of the bill. In that way, I think we shall have done something, because if we agree, it's a mandate we have negotiated. Provinces are having common ground. We say with those common grounds, no problem, agreed, and let's see how the department will move forward as we move towards C, get a way of meeting. before we found, before we go to conclude the three part of it.
No, Chair, I think what will also assist us is I'm not sure as to when the date of the final mandate, you know, where we finalize this particular bill. If we have that date, we can work backwards and say in terms of, because I don't want us to rush through a process and at the end of the day, you know, when the bill is finalized, then there are problems, there are gaps that we did not close. And therefore it will be important, I understand what my colleague Louis is saying, but I don't want us to make that mistake. We nearly did it with another bill previously, and we had to look at that bill and go through that step and postpone in extra fact even the date, you see, precisely because we wanted to do a thorough job. And because of that, if we can have the dates and then agree on a process so that we do something that is correct, you see, and don't rush and have a clear program so that we don't rush through a process, and that's what I'm worried about.
We should be receiving the final mandate on the 6th from the government.
No, Chair. I don't mind us reconvening tomorrow afternoon or Friday morning.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, but if on the 5th is the final mandate, maybe we can agree as to when do we reconvene this meeting so that we go into a thorough job, rather than us rushing through a process. And that's what I'm worried about.
Hello, and I think, Chair, the ideal process is the process that has been suggested, that we give over the department to do the entire consolidation of what the provinces are saying. Because when the department is doing that, they will be able to lift those issues where provinces are common in terms of, you know, the agreement. Then where there are issues, where there are problems. For example, when I was looking at the mandate of the Western Cape, you could see what they are raising. They are raising key issues around the constitution. And the department would be able to speak on those issues, which will have an impact in terms of the constitution. So I'm saying whatever we do, we must be able to agree and allow the department to change this process of consolidation and have time to meet again before the actual, you know, final mandate. By then, I think we'll have been able to do, you know, the thorough, you know, work. And by then, we'll be able to have some, you know, input that are coming from provinces as we are going back and come back, at least having some common, you know, understanding. In terms of, unless, you know, we want to rush it for the sake of rushing.
Commissioner?
Chairperson, if it comes to a push, I don't see that, all right, a mistake of reconvening this meeting, even in the night, then we continue with this, because we must do a thorough thing. I'm supporting the last speaker. Thanks.
When will the department be ready to consolidate it?
Well, Chairperson, that is a very good question. I mean, looking at this week, I mean, Friday will not be the first. I mean, that's conservatively Friday. I mean, but Monday will be more preferable, I think.
Do you have any plans today?
I'm not sure.
If it suits other members, if it suits other members, I will go for the Friday one. Then at least it's Wednesday today, and by Friday they will be ready, and then other provinces will also have time up until the 5th. Then I will propose let's take the Friday one.
I'm not sure. Friday is like there's a joint meeting of the chief whips and the chairperson. This is not for four. After that, if that is the case, but I'm worried about those who come from the provinces to rearrange the accommodation and all sort of things. If that can be done, there will be no problem after the meeting.
I'm not sure what is the date on Tuesday.
Okay.
It's the 2nd. Yeah, we have a workshop on Tuesday the 2nd from 10 o'clock. Or there's a plenary. Yeah. Because, you see, we will be having people from provinces in that particular workshop, but it won't be the same portfolio. I'm not sure as to what arrangement can be made so that we deal with, even if we work up to very late in the evening on Tuesday, you know, so that we have sufficient time to go back to our own provinces now to consult, so that we get feedback even before the department, so that we have that document from the department, you know, prior to that meeting, so that we can go through and go back to our provinces to indicate the differences and the issues, so that we can negotiate better. You see? Because I'm just worried that we need to do this. For example, we need to consult with Gauteng, we need to consult with KwaZulu-Natal and Mariam, you know, as soon as they have that. You see? And I'm just saying, if we can look at the Tuesday, it can be 8 o'clock in the morning, it can be 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so that we work until very late, we conclude that, and feedback to our own provinces, so that on the 5th, we have the final mandate present, and we've done a very good job. I'm not just looking at time, you know, as to what is it that we can do, if it's possible.
Chair, that's exactly my problem, Chair. You see, in the WIPAR, Chair, we have a program that is adopted, which indicates the time that's left for Parliament, and we, whenever whatever suggestions we are making must be in line with these schedules that have agreed with a number of people that are involved. The NCOP will be out on the week of the 7th, I guess, thereabout. We will be 14 to be in Kwakwa. And what this process means now, Chair, let's say we stop this process now. What this means is that these negotiating mandates are rejected, in essence, right? Because we've got to go back and wait for the government to draft something again that we then take back to the committees, the portfolio committees in the legislature. Because that's how we need to consult. We will consult in a formal meeting of a portfolio committee of a legislature. So it means we have to have that meeting, and what that means is that we simply jumping into a C bill without responding to the B bill as such. So the response of the select committee and the delegates, the special delegates that are negotiating in the mandate, would not have that opportunity as such. If looking at the schedules of time now, where we need to, we would not be meeting tomorrow, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, there's all these technicalities. So we have the 3rd, next Wednesday, probably to try and get the document into ourselves, that document that with the departmental response. It can only be able to be with us on the 3rd. And then from the 3rd means then that the delegates would have then go back to the portfolio committees to then, you know, get the mandate. And then what do we call that? Because these two things, Chair, the negotiating mandate and the final mandate, I think those are the key processes that needs to guide us what process we are engaging on. I think that's what is important. Now, constitutional matters also, we must, if there's an indication of a serious thing on the Constitution, it might be a question of a debate on an interpretation. But if it's a question of an amendment, it's not in the purview of this committee to amend the Constitution. There is a constitutional review committee and all. So those matters might not be even be easy to deal with them here if they suggest amendments to the Constitution, because that follows a separate process from this processing of the bill. So I'm saying, Chair, there are technicalities that as we apply our minds and not just sticking to the schedule and perhaps time. So I would have thought that Honorable Mkhobi was suggesting, Chair, was taking us forward. Because Honorable Mkhobi is suggesting that as we sit here, and I guess, Chair, I haven't seen if I was going to be able to see them, but I haven't seen how long are the mandates. the reports from the portfolio committees. But, you know, Chair, for instance, the ones that you've read, it's about four or five clauses per province, four or five clauses per province. Now, I'm not too sure whether we would try to do the lawyer's work here, and I don't think it's our way, but it's for us to give a reaction as a negotiating mandate on those clauses. For instance, the Eastern Cape and I think the Free State and Mpumalanga, I think they do make something on clause 6, right? KZN is started on clause 7. So all what I'm saying is that for me, I still feel, Chair, that what Honorable Mkhobi was saying, let's look at generally what are we agreeing on. The Western Cape might have raised a question on a section on the Constitution. If the general understanding of us is that they are correct with that, then the department would not, then we'd have had a reaction from the committee and the delegates that were sent to do a negotiating mandate. Because we would be looking at our own presentation, and each province here would look at its own presentation and react on a clause. Because we can easily do an arithmetic check of which clauses did provinces apply their minds on or responded on. You would find that it's 102, 102, 102, or 103, or 104. So we could. I still feel, Chair, we could. Thanks.
Thank you. Had I known that the man is representing the province fairly, I would not have come. I can't agree more on what you say. Safe to add that some of the provinces would need to sit, as you said, in the portfolio committee to try and call for final mandate from their legislature. As such, from KwaZulu-Natal, we're only sitting on the fact. Now, if we get these things late, it would mean the department would need to serve us with documentation so that when we sit before our legislature, we shall have sat as portfolio committees and look at the documentation, that is the collaboration of all the views of our other provinces. Now, if you say it is on Friday, I would assume perhaps by Friday we will present the second document so that we are able to sit either on Monday to look at them to prepare for final mandate for our legislature. I think the onus will be on the department whether or not they'll be able to stick to the Friday and give it whatever date that will arrange to come back. It should obviously consider our cities, the different cities in our provinces, so that we come here having been mandated by our legislature.
Chairperson, if there's a problem on Friday or Monday, as they are proposed, I will then amend my proposal to say let's break for an hour, give them time to go through this thing and reconvene. 11 o'clock now, reconvene at 12. And go through, you see, the Mkhobi was saying that most of the provinces agreed to this thing. There's only technical things in some of these. So they can go through this thing in an hour, give them an hour, reconvene again, and proceed with this and finalize it. That's my proposal.
Honourable Chair, I think an hour may be not fair to the administration. The fact of the matter is, as I've read through this document, we have more things on common ground than we differ. Mm-hmm. The thing is that many of the things are on administrative level that we must differ. What I would like to suggest is we can get just in a table form. Give us and say constitutional issues, what it is about, and every province can have something on the document and saying this is what you say about the chair, because many of these things are very, very technical detail, I think, that should not be included in the bill in any way. That can be done by regulations or whatever it is, so that we can identify that we can get it electronically, and then we can go back to our legislators and say, listen, this is the common ground, This is the fundamental thing that we need to debate. And I think we can come back then with those new mandates to say, let's accept what other people are saying, what other provinces are saying. But otherwise, I don't think it's fair to do it in an hour's time.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think it's very important that we do it properly. And it's very important that the department, it's important legislation. We've spent more than a year on it. We've got a task team in the department. It's proper that we should also internally in the department take this back to the task teams. They should give us the necessary legal advice. I should get the necessary mandate from my executive authority. That's the route. It's not just sitting around the corner quickly and say yes or no. It should be properly done. We should look at, because it's also got comments regarding treasury and so on. So we must be able to do that in consultations before we present a proper document to this committee. And I think that would be the appropriate route.
I'm not sure that approach of electronic whatever will assist, but you know, taken from what Louis said, I think the committee also need to write a report as whether there is something that has been done or not. It's very much important. I thought we would agree with that suggestion, but also to blame the department. Because the department cannot say, I've received the letter, I made the document with us in the same time. I thought they were assisting the process in the various provinces, taking a look at administrative. They should have had something to present if they want to do this. I would say, let's agree that we, on those things that the provinces are agreed on documents, we adopt in principle that the provinces are agreed. On those things that are technical, the department by Friday shall have done those things. And if provinces still mandate the permanent delegates who are here from various departments, from various provinces, could have an hour or so, maybe with the department on behalf of the provinces, to take some form of technical, and principle agreement and engage further that these were the diversions before final budget comes. These are the diversions that would assist the portfolio committee in various provinces to express a view toward final mandate. I think that will save us from the very same situation. If the fifth is cast on stone, but if it's not cast on stone, Louis would also present us in the programming to say we need this day to be shifted also if it's not cast on stone. And then we go to Tara one. Because it is for a very serious implication on the ground.
No, Chair, I think I'm persuaded to agree we go that process. But I would want us to then say when the department will be doing that, we'll agree with whatever that we're supposed to, that the provinces have agreed upon. Yeah? But the state law advisors must also then go and do their work. So that when we meet in the next meeting, when the department presents all the other issues that they think are fundamental towards this particular bill, we must have proper advice from the state law advisors in terms of the legal way. You know, I'm not sure if they are here, so that you know we are able to can deal with these things properly. Because my fear is we might say provinces have agreed with this, you know, only to find out technically they have different meanings. You see, we might say so now, but we are not technocrats. That's where the problem will lie. And therefore, it will be important for us to go through that particular process.
I think we need to follow that process. I'm sure I agree with the Honourable Members. But I don't know whether I'm hearing the Honourable Member correctly that in the programming committee, we want to be represented by Louis. If that is what I had, that would mean Mazulu Natal will send an invoice.
No, I mean, this is one of the programming team, and it's a whim of the committee.
I did not hear you very well. From here, I want to.
If permanent delegates from the various provinces really represent and they have integrity, credibility, we could still meet at the committee with say here in Cape Town, somewhere fine, with the department, just to see what is it that it makes to cover the space
that was listening to the
interview. That's not that I'm asking from now. What do we do from now?
Do we attend the meeting or
what are we doing?
No, chapter.
Honorable members, Honorable Bloom, before I...
Yes. Now, Chairperson, I thought that we agreed that some of the provinces, all, some of them have adopted and said no problem. We adopt those, and the difficult ones, we will tackle it on them on Friday. That is what Mr. Mukobi has said. We are not adjourning the meeting now. We tackle those, we adopt those, and then on Friday, all those others, who, like the Western case with technical issues, we tackle that on Friday.
I thought in terms of constitutional issues, Honorable Madina is covered. One speaker has talked about constitutional issues. On Friday, we might not anticipate a solution now, but if the state law advisors will be with the committee, on those things that talks to the question, we'll have a direction on Friday as to where they go. And that's what I'm trying to say, because we might not take it, we are not dealing with constitutional amendment, it's a legislative amendment.
Yes.
But if there is anything that impacts on the question, on Friday we'll be advised to say this has got an impact, and then obviously with the minds seated, would agree as to where this constitutional thing goes.
Honourable members, I am advised that as this is the negotiating mandate, we postpone the meeting till Friday and allow the department to deal with those issues that have been raised that may have an impact on the bill itself, and then come and brief us if we can have the documents late tomorrow so that we go through them in the evening, Thursday evening, and then Monday 10 o'clock we meet here. Friday.
Right.
Yes, Friday.
I'm not sure. I know you are aware that myself, I'm not sure who else must be in the first state on Friday morning. I'm not sure how is that going to affect the committee, because we're on that mission to go to the first state. I'm not sure what's going to happen.
We will deal with that. Yes. Yes.
Louis. You see, Chair, we had this thing with Cocton last year with the two bills. And what we did, you remember, we had a long debate like this, similar debate, in terms of how do we deal with negotiating money, because that's what we are trying to handle now. How do we deal with negotiating money? Now, if we agree now that the department, without us, who were delegated for the negotiating mandate, go and to and prepare a new document, which will not be a bill unless we think they're just going to prepare a document without a status, that they will be just a response to, I don't know what it would be called, and then present it to us. But remember, last time in COCTA, for instance, if I may draw from that example, because the Honorable Mukoro did, is that we then said, for instance, we had issues around the commission, issues around it. Now, it is this meeting that needs to identify that, and I thought we were agreeing on that one, Chair. Because as we speak now, I will go and read the constitutional matters that the Western Cape is reading. I'm not a technocrat and I'm not a lawyer. I will still come back with that confusion again, of what constitutional matters are they raising at that time. So we will be repeating similar meetings, a similar meeting like this one of today, because I would still come with my own confusion and my own interpretations to that meeting. Now, unless we are saying now, okay, we are just endorsing whatever the mandate blanketly here now, whatever this negotiating mandate, and we're closing, we say the department must go to produce a C list. So then we're working from the C list and that's it. And then we issue the final mandate if we are short-circuiting the process. But let's be clear as to what we are technically doing, you know, just so that we're not just saying time, and because of time, because time means I would still go and read the document and interpret it in my own way and come back and be told I had a wrong interpretation of the document. And therefore, this is what we meant, and that's what is meant by that province. And provinces would have an opportunity to contest those, and it means then we have to try and find a process of agreement. And so the negotiating process will be prolonged. That's what I'm trying to say technically. Therefore, Chair, I thought that what you were doing reading, we would then have a benefit of noting what KZN is saying, Clause 7, Eastern Cape, Clause 6, Western Cape, a constitutional section that they are quoting, and the department is noting all of that, and then we close the meeting, we will have negotiated.
Thank you very much, Honorable Honorable Members, we are still going to meet on Friday. But from now, we are going through all these two documents, the bills, and note the contents of those mandates and adjourn the meeting until Friday, when the departments will be briefing us about those issues that have been raised. And can honorable members allow me to go through the documents, and no one should stop me until I finished. Honorable Matila. Because that was what I was doing, honorable members. That should have been raised when I had completed going through the document. We were dealing with the mandate from Mpumalanga. Yes. My mom was referred to me, right? Yes, we were going to. Northern Cape.
But while you continue, let me raise a concern that we should not. I just want to raise it to the department. That technically we are doing a deal for the department with them. Next time, the department should not come in with this document for the politician. Because they're the ones that are driving the force of technical. This thing should have been presented before, but we continue, but we must raise this concern.
That has been noted, the government. The Northern Cape. The committee supports the bill. And then we go to the first page that deals with the public inputs on the bill. The bill must stipulate a time frame for the investigators to complete their investigation. The bill must make a provision for the establishment of regional offices in order to assess the service without going to the provincial offices in order to report a matter. A clause for report back to the complainant should be incorporated. A clause on redress should also be incorporated. There were no written inputs received. And the committee inputs on the bill were as follows. The committee considered all the inputs received during the public hearing. the committee further resolved to include the sergeant issues listed and calls on the Northern Cape permanent delegates to raise them during the negotiation stage. The committee adopted this negotiating mandate, duly signed by the chairperson of the committee. The committee recommends that the permanent delegates participate in the deliberations at the negotiating stage and to support the bill, taking note of the comments raised by the committee as well as input from the public. Limpopo. The Portfolio Committee on Safety, Security and Liaison hereby confers a negotiating mandate to the Limpopo Provincial Permanent Delegation to the MCOP to negotiate in favor of the bill with the input mentioned in the report. The next page, point four, that deals with the public hearings. The public hearings were conducted on the 12th and 13th in Mopani and Waterberg district respectively. Both Vembe and Mopani district held a joint public hearing at Tuvumbeni in service training, Sekokoni, Capricorn, Waterberg districts were jointly conducted at Mokopani Multipurpose Center. The public hearings provided provincial stakeholders a platform to express their views on the bill. The following inputs were solicited from the stakeholders. Chapter 1, on the objects of the bill. On clause 2G, the public raised a concern that the clause did not have a provision of traffic officials under the Department of Transport. It was further highlighted that the traffic officials should be included in the bill since they serve as law enforcement agencies. Establishment. On 3.1, the public support and welcome the provision of the establishment of Independent Police Investigative Directorate. It was the feeling of the public that the name change from ICD to IPED would be a move in the right direction. Chapter 2, the appointment of the executive director. On clause 6.5, stakeholders felt that the time frame for filling the vacancy of the executive director should not exceed 6 months. On 9M, the content of the clause was viewed as not having put emphasis on the obligations of implementing recommendations by the directorate to South African Police Service. The public felt that the clause should be explicit on powers given to the directorate to compel SAPS on the implementation of recommendations. Chapter 5, the provincial offices. A lack of ICD offices was a major concern that as it appeared to defeat the efforts of the object of the act stipulated in Chapter 1, subsection 2. It was therefore recommended that the directorate offices should be established in every policing area. Appointment of the provincial heads. The stakeholders felt that the time frame for filling the vacancy of the provincial head should not exceed 3 months. On responsibilities of the provincial head. The stakeholders had the view that a clause should have a provision of provincial head reporting annually to the legislature. The portfolio committee, having considered the bill and taken into consideration the input and views of the stakeholders, hereby confer a negotiating mandate to the MCOP permanent delegates to negotiate in favor of the bill. That was Limpopo. There are two separate documents, heavy mandates from Western Cape and the Northwest. We'll deal with the Northwest. We'll go to page 4. That deals with the public participation. The process of calling. The public hearing must be done in consultation with all participants, especially those who are involved. With regard to the responsibilities of IPIT, the public was of the opinion that the Department of Correctional Services should be included to participate, as there are people who, in most cases, take their complaints or challenges to the said department. Torture still exists within the police forces and should be dealt with accordingly. However, it is inevitable that the police do not want to cooperate with the community policing forum. Without undermining the police, it is factual that the police clash with the CPS even though they handle similar cases. Public concern with regard to the bill was also the fear that there are possibilities of taking the powers of the police. Public appealed to IPED to put their foot down in dealing with the existing corruption of the police officers, particularly those police officers who are deployed around their homes where they grew up and end up having favoritism in dealing with cases of corruption. Request that IPED should delegate some of its members to visit the police and see the actual happenings within their areas of jurisdiction. It's their strategy in terms of dealing with the police wherein people are victimized and intimidated by the police. IPED offices are hard to reach for people in rural areas, and police officials address their issues based on their relations with the members of the community. The public was of the view that they are not given sufficient time to study the bill, and therefore decision to accept the bill may be compromised wherein members of the community might not have enough time to make amendments. However, the bill can be passed even though implementation is critical and should be taken into consideration. We will go to page 6, that deals with the resolution. Every case should be treated on its merit, and the fear that criminals will take advantage. There is proposal to have IP offices in 4 regions throughout the province in order to bring them closer to the district municipalities in cluster of police stations. Provincial heads will investigate, and each district will have its own investigator. ICD has long been there, and therefore there is nothing new with regard to the latter. However, it is changing its name in the sense that it is now given more powers, wherein they will not only deal with complaints but also do their own investigations with regard to cases reported. After the investigation, criminal charges can be laid upon a person found guilty. The community does not doubt the training provided to the police officers, and it is undisputable fact that people cannot be in the same position to comprehend, and therefore have to be accepted that people are different and express them differently in terms of verbal and written language. If investigators found sufficient evidence in terms of police officers, a written report will be submitted to the administration. If a person feels that the commissioner is also involved in the corruption, public can complain at other levels, the public protector, the national minister. It is true that there are challenges, but the public is consulted to voice their concerns and have input on the bill presented for amending it in order to assist speeding up the process of a bill to be enacted. The bill was accepted with the above amendment. The other one is for the public hearing that was held at Villarreal
and the central group. We will only go to the resolutions on page 7. And okay, now the public participation that will arise, the inputs before we go to the resolution. Okay. Oh, this is for the civilian secretariat.
Yeah.
This is for the civilian secretariat to go to the Western Cape. The Western Cape Standing Committee on Community Safety hereby informs the NCOP Select Committee that it votes against the bill due to the following reasons. 1. The independent status. Section 206, subsection 6 of the Constitution stipulates as follows. On receipt of a complaint lodged by a provincial executive, an independent police complaints body established by national legislation must investigate any alleged misconduct of or offence committed by a member of the police service in the province. The preamble of the bill stipulates that there is a need to ensure effective independent oversight of the South African Police Service and the Municipal Police Service. This is also highlighted as one of the objectives. The manner in which the independence of the directorate is governed is found in clause 4 of the bill. Clause 4.1. The directorate functions independently from the South African Police Service. Point 2. Each organ of state must assist the directorate to maintain its impartiality and to perform its functions effectively. It is the opinion of the Western Cape Standing Committee on Community Safety that the independence afforded to IPED is grossly inadequate. The directorate, although removed from SAPS, continue to resort under the Ministry of Police. The Minister of Police is therefore the political head of both the South African Police Service and the directorate. The minister in question is therefore the responsible minister against whom complaints may be lodged in terms of the bill. Any investigation as well as outcome of such investigation by the directorate will reflect on the respective minister due to his capacity as political head of the SAPS. This arrangement will most certainly have an impact on the independence of the directorate. Questions may therefore be raised whether the directorate is in a position to execute its mandate without fear, favor or bias. Furthermore, the fact that the South African Police Service and the Directorate resort under the same political head opens the way for possible high-level interference by the South African Police Service in the operation of the Directorate. It is essential that operatives of the Directorate enjoy a higher degree of independence to protect them from high-level interference in their operations. Any institution formed to investigate and adjudicate upon criminal activity needs to enjoy a measure of independence for it to function properly in accordance with the requirements of the law. Independence of the directorate must not be seen as a matter of degree. The directorate either is independent from the Ministry of Police or it is not. Point 2, removal of the executive director. In terms of clause 6 of the bill, the minister appoints the executive director of the directorate upon confirmation by the relevant parliamentary committee. However, the minister may on his or her own accord remove the executive director from office on account of his misconduct, ill health or inability to perform the duties of the office effectively. This invariably leads to a situation where the executive director may be prejudiced in the performance of his or her duties. Point 3, the reporting obligation of the directorate towards the minister also exposes the directorate to interference
in its operations and further erodes the independent status of the directorate. The recommendations, despite the fact that the Western Cape Standing Committee on Community Safety rejects the bill, it is in favor of legislation that must establish an independent police complaints body as envisaged by Section 206.6 of the Constitution. This legislation must make provision for the following. The Directorate must enjoy similar independence as afforded by Chapter 9 institutions. The Directorate should be accountable to Parliament and its relevant Parliamentary Portfolio Committee. Parliament or President must, upon nomination by the relevant Parliamentary Committee, appoint the Executive Director. The relevant provincial executive must have an input in the appointment of the provincial head. Section 206, subsection 6 of the Constitution only makes provision for the investigations by the independent police complaints body on receipt of a complaint lodged by the provincial executive. Therefore, the role of the provincial executive must be given more prominence in the legislation. Honorable members, I think we, as we have indicated earlier, we note the contents of the negotiating mandates, and I will allow members to raise those issues that they feel that the department should deal with them and prepare for submission for our meeting on Friday. Honorable.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I from the KwaZulu-Natal point of view, we think there are three major issues that the department should reflect on. The first being the MEC should actually be responsible for whatever activities, because in the proposal it refers to the MEC only gets in when he has put a complaint. Now, in our view, he should be involved all the way if there's any complaint, because he's the person that is overseeing the performance of the SAPS in the program. The second one is that we think there's got to be a consideration of the offices spread around the provinces, because so that you would make offices accessible to the people of each province. And so we think that would be helpful. We have submitted the written presentation, which we believe has got to be considered. Otherwise, we realize that most of the provinces are agreeable to some of the things that we say, and we do not see any fundamental difference. And even with the Western Cape one, I think it is only technology that they don't support the bill, but some of the things that they have raised are constitutional in nature, and we believe they are in that respect agreeing with some of the provinces.
I guess now this is a process that we're making at our deliberations in reaction to the presentations as you read them, the negotiated mandates as you read them. We, for instance, we fundamentally want to make an emphasis on Section 206, that the bill must, for now, for the purposes of this period of moving towards enacting this bill, that Section 206 we think is relevant, unless otherwise that section is amended, which is a different process from this we believe that it does. For instance, what you read from the Western Cape Chair, we says that it's Section 6, which, I mean, yeah, Section 6 of that clause 206, which says that the independent complaints body must be under the it must be directed and be within the national legislation, and this bill is doing exactly that. So there's no conflict with that section, for instance, constitutionally. Now it's a question of whether we accept that constitutional clause, which means it's a separate process from this bill. Now, also, Chair, we made an emphasis on 22 in our presentation at KZN, where we are saying it must be open, in a sense that, Chair, we understand, and what Western Cape was saying earlier on about administrative and technical matters, you know, Chair, our point of emphasis really is that we understand, and we would like it to be that way, that the Premier and the MEC, or the executive of the province, should have the flexibility of being able to allocate the resources, of being able to make sure that the functioning and the responsibilities of the provincial office, in cognizance also of the relations in the Governance Framework Act, he allows this. That's what we want to make that emphasis, because part of the deliberations in KZN is that the Premier and the executive as such should have a role that allows them to place and be able to deal with issues of efficiency, issues of effectiveness, of the independent directorate chair. I think that's the emphasis we are making, and hence we say in engagements we do want to see that the MEC takes responsibility, and in agreement with the Eastern Cape, I think in their close statement, to say that then those procedures of intervention, you know, that includes Parliament, that includes the NCOP, must also, Chair, be taken and be reflected properly in the bill. I think, Chair, those are the matters of emphasis for ourselves, for the Department in response. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think we must really be very sensitive about these issues, because this bill that's coming, as one of the officials said, that's over a period of time. And the Western Cape already had this Provincial Oversight Committee to the MEC. And in the annual report that was tabled yesterday, even the day before in Parliament, is that the Provincial Commissioner already imposed a ban on the Department of Community Safety dealing with any complaints of service delivery nature. And if we can start now with overthrowing the constitution by the police commissioner, then we must see the red lights start to burn, because it happened in the Western Cape now, and that's against the constitution. So if we are going to allow the police, the commissioner of police, to appoint the people to report to him and to fund him, I think it's fundamentally not impartial. You cannot be the referee, the player, and the sponsor. So this is the basis of the argument, but I don't think we must argue the constitutional right or wrong at this stage. I think this is the point of view that should be elaborated.
Just a moment, Honourable Member. I think the Honourable Member is shooting into this, because he's talking about the Commissioner, and there is no... There he talks about the Minister and not the Commissioner. That's what I wanted to correct. But perhaps he's reading something else.
Continue, Honourable.
Thank you. Now, I think Honourable colleague is correct in the sense of the Minister. But we must also bear in mind that the Minister is also appointing the Commissioner, is also appointing the independent people. And I think we must just be cautious when we deliberate about this issue. And I'm not
trying to say now, I'm giving you a legal advice, but this is the concern of the Western Cape, is that how impartial is this organization could be? And I think that's the fundamental question that we need to answer.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think as this thing came, some of the matters that we wanted the department to look upon are issues that most of the provinces agree with us. For an example, Free State, in the issue around the insertion of the National Assembly, I think we agreed with the Free State on that you can't just relate to any relevant, you know, parliamentary committee. The bill must be able to be specific on that matter. I think again, the other issue that we also want to see to it, it comes through is clause 7, you know, when it talks to the issue of our consistency in terms of the, you know, pieces of legislation that are there. Because we can't see a reason why should we have, you know, if the executive director would be like an executive authority as far as preparing annual financial statement, why are they given 4 months, whilst the other pieces of legislation talks to 2 months? So we want the bill to be consistent with some of the legislation. And again, in terms of the final implication of the bill, most of the KZN is saying the same, Gauteng is saying the same, to say for you to see to it that this, you know, directorate is accessible to most of our people, you must have, you know, some offices, maybe as the start, you have it at district level, so that because our province is so rural, if you have one, you know, office in East London or Mthatha, you will still have, you know, about 300 or 400 kilometers people have to drive. But if you put it through, you know, district offices or local police station, at least people will have an access to such, you know, offices. And again, the issue of appointment, the role that must be played by the MEC. If the MEC in the province, one of its responsibilities to look at the conduct of police, he must be given a role also to play in terms of those, you know, processes. I think what Western Cape is saying in as far as the impartiality of the directorate, I think the bill addresses that. The fact that all these people are going to be appointed by the minister, in our view, it addresses the issue of independence. Because I don't understand why Western Cape are saying you must have a directorate that is independent from where? Independence of, because minister represents the interest of government. So they want an institution that is independent where government is not involved. In any history, you know, in any of these countries, even those that are more advanced than us, there is no way that you will have just an independent director where ministers, you know, minister of police is not, because the bill is clear here. Most of these people, even those that are going to be appointed at a provincial level, the minister will have a say in terms of seeing that that process is fair, is transparent, and these people account to the national in as far as this thing. This is, in my view, this is not a new thing. What is happening now, most of these offices which were national are just given, you know, chances to be there at the province and given more powers so that our people have more access to these, you know, issues in terms of reporting. This is nothing new at all.
No, not here. I think I'm covered by what the KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape said. We fully agree with them. In actual fact, I wanted to raise one issue that possibly we must have an opinion from our legal gurus around the constitutionality of the whole matter. And I think it will be important that on Friday the legal department is invited to advise us on that specific area. Chair, I just have an experience from London. You know, we believe that we are a new democracy. But, you know, an official in London, in that parliament, said to us, in actual fact, England is a banana republic because they don't have a constitution, they don't know who lives in London, in England. Well, the problem is one person might have five numbers and can vote on any voting date in five different districts and vote five times. You know, and that's the feel we had to see out. South Africa is more advanced. And I think this bill is also assisting us to go towards that vote, making sure that there's proper accountability. in this particular country. But the views has been raised by both KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape, and we fully support that process.
You're right. But your mandate was clear that you have to raise some issues that to raise at the public hearing. Okay.
Sorry, sir. He was not part of the public hearing. You know, you don't know anything about it.
Don't be controversial.
No,
you don't understand his blend. Sorry, Bunda. Sorry, Bunda.
Commissioner,
yeah. Chairperson, first of briefly, while in agreement with the KwaZulu-Natal approach, the Northern Province, all the 12 and 13, I'm not going to read about the venues that we know, okay, were there. What is the objective of the bill when we interrogated the definition and the object of the bill? And on clause 2, they've raised that now the bill does not include the traffic officers. They feel that now it is important that they include also the traffic officers to be part and parcel of this amendment. And then the establishment on 3.1, the public supports and welcomes the provision of the establishment of the independent directory, because they said that the name change, it is in the right direction, because it moves away now from the sense of the police, because they're independent, is what they said here. And then in chapter 2, the appointment of the executive, the public says that that the time frame for filling the vacancy of the executive level should not exceed 6 months. That is the filling, that was the filling. Then on 9M, the content of the clause was viewed as not having put emphasis on the obligation and implementation of the recommendation by the National Commissioner, or I can say by the police. They wanted the independent director to have teeth to bite. What are they going to do when the National Commissioner is not responding to the recommendation? Despite the fact that they know that within 30 days you must report the National Commissioner, but if they don't see the teeth biting, then the National Commissioner is on those recommendations. And then on chapter 5, provincial offices, lack of offices, we also say that they also said that it will be proper that if the offices can be established just within the station precinct, and then it will do well. The appointment of the provincial head, 3.5, the stakeholder felt that the time frame for the filling of the provincial head should not exceed 3 months. Okay. On 2I, the stakeholder also viewed that the clause should not have provision for the provincial head reporting annually to the legislature. I heard KwaZulu-Natal mentioning the issue of to expand that relationship with the MEC, but we feel that it must not the taking of the power use or the reporting. We understand with the reporting and everything with the MEC, but should not take them as a federal small police with the MEC. It must be still controlled by the National Commission. And the portfolio committee having considered the bill and taken the consideration of the input and views of stakeholders hereby conferred the negotiating mandate to them that supported it. Thanks.
Honorable members, can we go to the civilian secretariat? Honorable members, this one will approach different. I will request the delegates from the provinces to read their demands from their provinces, and where there are no delegates from the provinces, I will go through the demands. Just in case.
Now, thank you, Honorable Chair. We have just raised two matters in the Secretariat. I think all what we are saying in the Eastern Cape is that care must actually be taken that there is no overlap between the functions of the department and those of the civilian secretariat. Our observation in the civilian secretariat, particularly the roles and functions of that civilian secretariat at a provincial level, that they will be actually doing the work that is actually carried out by the department, oversight, oversteps, you know, looking at all those issues. That's what the Department of Safety and Liaison is at, because as portfolio committee, we do oversight over the department. It's the department that actually does oversight over that. So we're saying we don't want to see that happening. There must be that care, you know. I know they're actually complimenting what the department is doing, but we don't want to see them being, you know, the ones that are doing that type of oversight. The last issue that we're also raising is that when this becomes a law, at least we must be assisted in establishing offices at a local level just to also enhance the issue of accessibility. I think that's what we were raising around the, you know, the independent one. Even on this one, we are saying for it to be effective, at least they must be able to establish offices at a local level. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, that's one thing here is saying, I'm presenting it to the committee. We don't have any problems. I'm presenting it to the committee. Thank
you. Yes, okay.
Yes, Chair. Yeah, there are three issues that have been raised. Yeah, none of I go to the recommendations from the province. I think it should be in line with the PFMA, the accounting processes. We are also raising the issue of them reporting to the MECs too. The last issue important for the bill to factor in the issue of financial implications. This is a particularly important because each province is expected to establish a provincial secretariat within 18 months after the act comes into effect. It's around how we deal with the financial processes. Those are the issues. They want some clarity as far as that particular area is concerned. But in essence, there were no major issues raised by Gauteng because they supported the bill.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I am not going to read all the pages that are written here. Let's just say that we are going to submit them as is, but there are few fundamental issues that we wanted to raise. The first being the consideration that the MEC has got to be or it doesn't have to be left out of this. And the second one is we would like this one not to replace the department, exactly as the Senkep is saying, because all we thought that could happen was that the civilian secretariat has got to be a unit within the department reporting to the HOD, and then the HOD. And the accountability in terms of finances, we also feel that PFMA has got to be followed to the latter. Actually, if you read our recommendations, they are all based on constitutional matters. That Section 206 and Section 100 has got to be adhered to as is, because we think this unit is going to enhance the work of the portfolio of the department in the province, and that of playing an oversight role on the workings and activities of the police. But we also feel that then if this has been established, they must have access to the police stations and so on and so forth. So they are not prohibited from entering the premises of the police, and also be given a latitude of getting whatever they would want to see, the lack of documents, the lack of information, so that we are able to monitor the workings of the police. Thank you very much.
There's only two submissions. I'll go through them quickly. The committee recommends that the permanent delegation to the NSOP should negotiate in favor of the bill, taking into consideration the inputs of the public hearing and the following recommendations made by the committee respectively. The committee has noted that those 16 and 34.2 has noted that in relation to the concern raised by the public on the issue of the alignment of the provincial secretariat to the national secretariat, taking into account that Mpumalanga has a provincial secretariat which is functioning as a directorate under the Department of Safety, Security and Liaison. That the bill in clause 34, subsection 2, that deals with the transitional provisions, provides that any provincial structure that is in existence at the provincial sphere of government immediately before the commencement of this act continues subject to clause 16. Clause 16 mandates the MEC to establish provincial secretariats within 18 months after the commencement of the act. Therefore, the roles and mandate of the current civilian secretariat will need to be aligned to the National Civilian Secretariat by the MEC. A new civilian secretariat is not going to be established. Clause 19 and 22, with regard to the concern raised on line of reporting in terms of submission of reports, Clause 19 provides that the provincial secretariat will submit reports to the head of the department, the MEC, and the secretary. And clause 22 provides that the provincial secretariat should, through the head of the department, submit to the MEC and the secretary quarterly reports. Clause 26, 1 and 4. With regard to this clause, it is important to note that the intervention by the civilian secretariat nationally will only happen on instruction of the minister and only after the minister has consulted with the MEC. Provision is also made that the minister must regularly inform the MEC on progress of the intervention. Northern Cape.
Chair, there's only allowing the court to the portfolio committee's position on the bill and then the committee adoption of the bill. after due deliberation and taking note of the public's input, the Public Portfolio Committee on State Council of Public Works supports the bill. The committee adoption of the bill, the committee has adopted this negotiating mandate duly signed by the chairperson of the committee. The committee recommends that the permanent delegates participate in deliberations at the negotiation stage and support the bill, taking note of the comments raised by the community as well as inputs from the public. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ndak. The Popo.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll start at Chapter 2, where they have suggestions. And, here in Chapter 2, the Civil Secretary for the Police Service, establishment thereof. And then in Clause 4.1, the public agreed that the Civilian Secretariat should be established, although there was a reservation that the implicit structure seems to overlap in respect with the duties and functions to those of the Department of Safety, Security and License. And then in Clause 5A, the stakeholder recommended that an oversight of our police service should be extended to the municipality police service, since they both serve as a law enforcement. During the public hearing, it was also raised that both the civilian secretariat and the department play an oversight role over police service. The public felt that the role of both structures needed to be clearly synergized to avoid duplication. The stakeholder welcome the content of the clause 5I in brackets, which indicates that the civilian secretary will provide guidance to community police fora and associated structure in guiding the facilitating of the effective execution of the function. It was also recommended that this clause should have a provision of establishing and training the above-mentioned structure. Community police fora and associate structure were viewed as the best mechanism to combat crime, and therefore a structure dedicated to oversee the activities of the in the vacancies, they also said that it was recommended that 6 months will be a reasonable time or time frame for the filling of the vacancies. Let us come to the appointment of the provincial head of secretariat. The public felt that the clause 18.1 should give the MEC a mandate to appoint the head of provincial secretary in the province. The recommendation was to effect that the provincial secretary will be reporting to the MEC as reflected in clause 22I. It was further recommended that the provincial head should report annually to the legislature. In clause 21.2, the public felt that 3 months would be a reasonable period for the MEC to fill vacancies of the provincial secretary. And then paragraph 5, the negotiating mandate, then the portfolio committee, having considered the bill and taken into consideration the inputs and views of the stakeholders, hereby confess a negotiating mandate to SUP to manage delegates to negotiate in favor of the bill of the aforesaid. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Western Cape.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Western Cape, once again, according to this document, says that they reject the bill. But I think it's more a question of race, certain concerns regarding the constitutional powers of provinces. Regarding the provincial organ of state, the bill does not clearly regulate the legal status of the proposed provincial secretaries to be constituted by the MEC.
It is difficult to determine from the provision of the bill whether the provincial secretariat forms part of the provincial sphere of government and whether it assumes the identity of a provincial organ of state. There are several contradictory provisions in the bill which leads to this uncertainty. Clause 4.2 of the bill provides that the civilian secretariat is a national department in the national sphere of government. Clause 4.5 of the bill requires provincial secretaries to assist the civilian secretary and to perform the function and exercise the powers of the civilian secretariat in the provincial sphere of government in accordance with the principles of cooperative government and intergovernmental relations. The wording of this clause implies that the provincial secretaries perform functions and powers on behalf of the civilian secretariat or that they are the provincial arms or branch of the civilian secretariat. Clause 19 provides that the head of a provincial secretariat is responsible for the performance of the function in Clause 17 and those duties and functions assigned to the provincial head by the secretary in terms of Clause 10. Clause 10 gives power to the secretary to delegate any power or assign any duty conferred on the secretary to any person in the employment of the civilian secretariat. The wording of these clauses implies that the head of a provincial secretariat is an employee of the civilian secretariat and thus an employee of a national department. The bill does not provide for an accounting officer for the provincial secretariat, where the bill expressly provides for an accounting authority for the civilian secretariat. Regarding national intervention, the Western Cape Standing Committee on Community Safety has serious concerns with the provisions of Clause 26 of the bill, which regulates intervention by civilian secretariat in the affairs of the provincial secretariat. If the provincial secretariat assumes the identity of a provincial organ of state, in such an event, the intervention of the civilian secretariat in the affairs of the provincial secretariat does not comply with the intervention requirements which are applicable when the national sphere of government intervenes in the provincial sphere of government in terms of Section 100 of the Constitution. This clause accordingly also indicates that the secretariat and the provincial secretariat form part of the same sphere of government and that it is therefore not necessary to comply with the requirements of Section 100 of the Constitution, which leads to further uncertainty regarding the status of a provincial secretariat. If it is, however, the intention of the bill to provide for provincial secretariats within the provincial sphere of government, which is not clear from the provisions of the bill, the intervention by the national minister in the provincial sphere of government as proposed in terms of Clause 26 is inconsistent with Section 100 of the Constitution. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Go through the last mandate of Northwest. Page 4 of the document within provincial mandate, Northwest for Bill 15 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
Page 7 of the document. The input from the public hearing held at Delarayville and Ventersdorp. The members of the public wanted clarity in terms of the difference between the IP and the Secretariat. Looking at the core functions of the Secretariat and CPF, they are similar except that Secretariat is given more powers, but the public appreciated government's effort to have recommended the civilians to be the advising body. After 16 years in power, government realized that there should be mechanism in dealing with corruption, particularly within the SAF. Establishment of partnerships is not specified as to who will be in partnerships. With regard to accountability, auxiliary structure that will be recognized and recommendations thereof should be respected and taken into account concerning the SAPS. The resolutions, an assurance was made by the committee that this bill will help the communities to know the police rights and know where to report corrupt or irresponsible police officials without any possible victimization. That it is incumbent upon the independent police to investigate Investigative Directorate B and Civilian Secretariat for Police Service B. All the district municipalities were represented by participants from all the local municipalities from its inception to rigorously conduct public education about this bill so as to empower the citizens. The emphasis was made to the effect that this bill must cover all the previous cases in line with the procedures of the bills and be prioritized. Standard of police service must be upgraded to allow the healthy and hygienically detention of prisoners. The committee further emphasized that the introduction of this bill does not affect the constitutional and legislative competency of the police officials. The bills should be written in all official languages. The CPF and Secretariat, in terms of government structures, there is no duplication, and the bill only empowers the Secretariat to develop strategies to ensure a uniformity accordingly. Partnerships are all the stakeholders that will be identified to mobilize to fight against crime, and CPF will be one of the stakeholders. Such as to be accountable, but not to itself, through monitoring and evaluation. The documents for public hearing were published for public comment and by national before it was passed to the provincial legislatures. With regard to SAPS, who do not address issues accordingly, members of the public should have case number in order to see when the case was opened and which police station and police official. One-on-one engagement with police writing statements with regard to reported cases. People are at liberty to report to the MSC and public safety or national. Regulations will be available with the code of conduct that governs civilian secretariat. CPF's role is clear and there is no need for it to appear more than once, and it is the responsibility of CPF to take any matter to the national minister if there is a need. If there are any cases reported and police are not playing their role, they will be expelled on grounds that investigated rather than accusing them without any evidence. The Civilian Secretariat Bill was accepted with the above clarifications and amendments. Honorable members, we can engage with the mandates. Honorable Zimande.
Thanks, Chair. I think it's a matter of emphasis because we've communicated the our mandate in terms of negotiation. But Chair, just for the department, when they respond, there is a matter on the issue of in consultation with, I think it was 1718, if I remember correct, in consultation or after consultation. Those two issues, Chair, we want to remind the department that courts have made expressions on that. And that is, in our view, as the Portfolio Committee Chair, is that it can be interpreted, and the court has put this thing forward, to say that it has an ability to usurp functioning of the province or of the executive authorized otherwise in other clauses to be able to make decisions and plans and all that, because in consultation might mean that you tell the other party or the partner, and the partner has a right to say no, and that can plunge this the and it has impacted on service delivery in a number of times, in a number of situations, in other areas of service delivery. So we are saying perhaps it's known and it's established by precedence, and it can be governed by regulations and of course agreements, memorandum of agreements, that rather than an act, this thing of in consultation or after consultation with. We want to make that emphasis that the department really apply its mind on this one, because Chair, as I say, you know, it could plunge the province. Even the 6 months that the Limpopo is talking about, might be 6 years or 10 years before appointing a head of the provincial secretary, because maybe the minister feels it's not a good candidate for whatever reason, and between him and him or her and the MEC, then it can drag the process too long. So we would rather, we understand that there are methods and governed by other acts, okay, that would assist in really finding the collaboration and enforcing the collaboration. So we would like to make that emphasis. As well as the Western Cape Chair, I think clause 26 as well, we if I remember correct, I may do wrong cross-referencing, so I give myself a bit of a dark nature, but I might, for the department to really consider those areas. One is that we think that Section 100 is better providing clarity, you know, in this clause. So therefore we would rather have that recognized or cross-referenced properly, Chair, because we're trying to deal with these ambiguities and uncertainties that might be arisen out of interpretation, because there you it's the Section 100 of the Constitution, I think, clarifies for now whether we agree with whatever is contained there or not. And we continue to make this point that those constitutional areas that are looked like, that as long as they are not in conflict with this bill, we say that if we need to amend those constitutional clauses that perhaps we think politically and otherwise are not good, that process doesn't belong here. So we would not like the department to respond to us to say no, but we would need to amend the constitution before you get this situation. We are saying just apply without conflict, you know, what's in the sections of the constitution, because it is the supreme law of the land. And we also want to make an emphasis, Chair, on the fact, I think it's 19 as well, where the access, that access matter of the provincial secretary, provincial head of secretary, that access must really be taken care of. We also think 14 and 15, Chair, worried about the being superfluous about and causing confusion. You see, you can be over elaborative on some of these things, and you cause confusion, you cause ambiguity and a lot of interpretation that is required. So I think the Eastern Cape, even in the previous bill, they made, and I think in this second bill, they made a position that we think we agree with, that says the laws, the other acts like the PFMA and others, and we think clause, in fact, what we are proposing in our presentation is that, Chair, let that clause 14, 15 be deleted because it's superfluous, you know. And so we're making that as a matter of emphasis, that the department must carefully look at that as such. And then we think that I think, Chair, let me stop here. I think those were the critical ones that I wanted to make matters of emphasis on. Thanks.
No, Matilda.
I think one point that we must look at is this issue around unfunded mandate to the provinces. Because you see, Limpopo is now calling for a shorter period, and they might not have the money to pay for those people. And I think the department must seriously look at that particular situation. Because definitely, in terms of the financial implications towards the provinces, is going to be heavy. Because this matter is now referred to provincial departments, and therefore it might mean, in terms of policing, the money might become from a different source rather than from the department itself. And that becomes an unfunded mandate to the provinces. And then I said that must be looked at. But I think my colleague Louis has dealt with most of the issues correctly, and we think this is, I think we supported the page.
Cape?
Yes, Chair. I think KZN have, you know, Babu's mind have actually, you know, said mouthful in terms of the key aspect which we felt that the department must actually take care of. I think the issue of the, you know, financial controls, you know, 14 and 15, we 100% agree with them that if we are to look at those pieces of legislation, there is no need to have this, you know, section 14 and 15, because they talk to number of things. They will actually make, you know, a number of, you know, confusion. But Chair, again, we agree with what, you know, Gauteng is saying. It must be clear who is going to fund this, you know, establishment of this secretariat. Because if you talk of HOG in the department, it means the department. But if this is a national, you know, directive, obviously national must take care of such activities. Because provinces will not be able to, you know, to fund the establishment of these offices, including salaries of these, you know, different, you know, individual or staffing of this, you know, secretariat at a provincial level. So I think department must also take, you know, care of that. But going forward, Chair, I think, you know, Western Cape, whenever they are doing some, you know, coming with these recommendations for their submission, they must actually read the constitution clearly. They must actually look what the roles of provinces are in as far as police matters are concerned. Because I think all what they are raising, their fears or what, in terms of the constitution, though some of those fears are covered. This civilian secretariat is just a body of the fact that it is called civilian. People that are not in the police force thing are people outside the police force that are there to see to that all those policies that government policies at least are implemented fairly, and they talk to the challenges that our society face. They've got nothing to do to take powers of their provincial perspective. I think they must come to the fore of understanding that we are not a federal, you know, sort of state. We are a unitary state. We talk to the issues of the national, you know, interest, not issues of provincial. Because all what they are raising in the first bill, in the second bill, they look at their interest as if they are in a cocoon of some sort here. They might be led by an opposition party, but I think on national issues of interest, they must look at the issues, you know, that affects all our people nationally, not, you know, in the province. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Chair, yeah, it's true what the Honourable Member is saying, but the fact is that the intention of the Western Cape was also to protect the Constitution and to highlight the threat that can be against the Constitution if it, because that's the reason why we have a Constitution. But this doesn't say that other people might not differ from the viewpoint. As I say, we must always respect the Constitution because that is the basis of our democracy. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Any further engagement?
Chairperson. Chairperson, we in the state are very cool and collected and everything is fine with us. But you see, Chairperson, I've raised an issue the last time of the duplication of the two bodies. The ICD, the new one, iPad or iPod or so on, and this one, is it not a duplication of things? I think that the member have tried to cover it as civilian, but you see, in most of the submissions, the provinces also call for offices in the respective. Now, is it not a duplication? You see, they tried to answer that thing the other time, our last meeting, but I'm not convinced that it is not a duplication of resources.
Hello,
sir. I really sympathize with Honorable Bloom. Because we were all interested with him, coming from the same school of thought. But
Sometimes if you can't beat them, you must just join.
Thank you, Chairperson. The issue of joining those who are winning, those who okay. The issue is on public in the Republic. It was the issue of this structure of civilian strong more overlapping with the duties and functions of the of the department, yes. And then they also mentioned that this role, the secretariat's role should be clearly synergized to avoid duplication. That's what the issue. We didn't talk about the budget because we indicated that no. Should they think about this, they must know that they have money. Okay.
Honourable members, in the absence of further engagements, I will just send it back to Gashin to explain the procedure for this Friday meeting.
Honourable members, once again, much for your time. Particularly, we've afforded the province's opportunity to present the negotiating mandate today. But for Friday's meeting, after the department has given clarity on the negotiating mandate in this query, where there are amendments, the committee needs to go clause by clause through the bill, and we need to adopt those amendments. Now, a quorum for Section 76 in terms of Rule 155 consists of five provinces. And to adopt, when a question is decided, you must have a supporting vote of at least five provinces. So basically, for Friday's meeting, we will go clause by clause through the bill, where there are amendments, agree on them, and then vote them for adoption.
You see, Chair, exactly now I have a problem with that, because it means we're jumping a stage of the final mandate. So what is that session for? Because what is being outlined now is a process of the final of the final mandate. So my point then, Chair, is that I feel, I don't know, maybe you need to give us an opportunity now again to make our own expressions after the in 30 seconds per province, because what we've done now, Chair, we have processed our negotiating mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we are at a stage where we've all said we're supporting the bill. So we have now the common ground. And therefore, the next meeting is now for us to release the final mandate for the provinces to continue. So that's where we are now, Chair. I'm not sure if I'm missing a step somewhere, but that's what I wanted to raise, Chair. Thanks.
Honorable Mkhobi, Honorable Matida.
Yeah, I thought when we reverted to the initial procedure, we are now penalizing B.
Yeah.
And now we've done that, which means Friday is no longer necessary.
Yeah.
Honorable Matilda.
Yeah, Chair. whilst I want to agree with my colleagues here, but I think there is one thing that is important for us to go back to the provinces. To can then receive a final mandate, we must go back and then say, this is what we have agreed upon. We don't have that in writing now.
Yeah.
And we are thinking that the Friday meeting will clarify those issues so that we can go back to the provinces and say, this is what we have, how do we control this? They can then, as provinces, finalize that matter and give us a final mandate. Because that's what I thought the Friday meeting will be for. You see, in terms of the final, but if that's not the case, if we can get the written document,
yeah,
so that we can go back to provinces and deal with the final situation. But also, Chair, because at some point I emphasize one point. Besides us agreeing on issues, we wanted a legal opinion on the constitutionality of all these issues. You see, for us to can go back and brief our provinces, so that we tell our provinces, this is legally, this is the thinking, you know, and this is the situation, how do we move forward in terms of that final document, that document that will come out, that will be taken to the provinces. So so that we can deal with that situation. Trying to avoid one thing, that on the date of the final mandate, we then have legal people coming in, you know, advising us differently from what we have then. Mm-hmm. Then we start to amend that bill again there, which might not be in the interest of the provinces themselves. And that's what I thought, this is what we are doing. But if that is the route, we can go that route.
Not sure, that's the essence of us having, of agreeing with that Friday meeting, that we have not been giving enough thought, particularly on the first bill, which is happening. We wanted to have these people, particularly the department, to talk on those issues that, you know, got, you know, a reference to the Constitution. So we then agreed, you know, we might have agreed on the second bill, but on the first bill, all we are saying, give a chance to these legal gurus to go through it and leave those matters that have gotten impinged in the Constitution. So I'm saying, because in terms of this new arrangement, we must have sittings in our legislature to say these are the negotiating mandate that we came out with today's meeting without having any people. I can't go to Eastern Cape and say that they must be sitting on Friday what I'm going to report in that sitting without having all this aspect that will be lifted up. So I'm saying, let's not change that decision. Let's continue with that decision, bearing in mind that all we are doing, we want to be safe at the end of the day when we adopt this bill.
Thanks, Chair. I would have actually thought that the process that we stopped you from doing earlier on, and your relation to this process of running through all the documentation, I thought that was dealing, doing away, that was actually an engagement and where we would reach an agreement. But if colleagues feel that Friday is necessary, I would have thought the process would be get the documentation from the department so that we are able then to continue with our provincial legislature for a final mandate for a committee. And that's what I thought. But the issue of the legal advisors, I don't know, Chair, we are from KwaZulu-Natal. We've been fought to the nail, and we've got all the lawyers that we have. And maybe these guys really have taken you have not fought easy, you think. So we've got lawyers that are assisting the legislature, and I think we should have answered that one. Unless you want to see us coming from Washington from time to time, you miss us. Thank you.
No, Chair, I then agree with the proposal that the Friday meeting is off. I withdraw my proposal.
Thank you, Honorable Matira.
No, I wouldn't agree from the principle, because you see, the issue of the legal advice is very much important. You see, we rush, and those people from the ICD, it's under the impression that they must come back on Friday and present and tackle some of the issues. We can't reverse that meeting on Friday. That is from the Free State side. We can't. We must continue with, and Eastern Cape is saying the same. We can't do it. I don't know Gauteng. Gauteng is now and then confused. Thank you very much.
Honourable members, I need some direction, because Free State has proposed amendments for the IPED bill, and so has KZN in Mpumalanga. For Friday's meeting for the IPED bill, I need to send a report to the provinces stating that the committee agreed on XYZ.
Yes.
For that to happen, I need members to adopt certain, come to agreement on clauses, and then adopt those clauses.
Honourable members, we are meeting on Friday. The details will be communicated to you. We are meeting on Friday, Louis.
I'm trying to understand, Chair.
You understand it now. We are meeting. You understand it now.
You see, Chair, the status of that meeting, we meet for a specific purpose. Now, what are we going to be doing as a select committee on Friday? We will be doing a negotiating mandate, or we will be doing an interpretation of clauses, which is not our purview. Now, that process of that session that is interpreting the response of the department is supposed to be with the portfolio committee. Unless, Chair, people are declaring here that the portfolio committees have no capacity to do that, and therefore they are deferring that process to the select committee here to do it. Because, Chair, all what it means is that we will be, as exactly what is being said now, the IP, we will have the response of the department according to the clauses, right? To say Eastern Cape said this, KZN said that, Gauteng said that. That's it, and then the department would put its response on the next column, right? I assume that format, in that format. And therefore, what are we going to do? Because then it's what the secretary here is supposed to do. It's supposed to release that document on Friday to the legislature, so that the legislatures with their legal advisors and the members sit to then confer on those things. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to sign off on that.
What are we going to do? Sign off on what? On the president of the department. That, yes, I'm not sure what kind of a process is that.
Chair, the Friday's meeting is a continuation of a negotiating Monday meeting. That's the continuation. But what we are actually saying now, some of the mandates from provinces we are giving to our permanent delegates after receiving the input from these IP people who left here know it very well. But because we were supposed to be here, when we were supposed to be here, we were supposed to have received documents from these legal people, consolidation of our input. That's the procedure. But that procedure was never followed because this gentleman was saying we only got this document here. Because if this gentleman were here, because they would be able to say Eastern Cape and KZN and Free State on this particular aspect, they agree. Eastern Cape and KZN on this day disagree, then we negotiate on that. But they were not afforded that opportunity. And legally, they must be afforded that opportunity. So I'm saying that's the continuation of that meeting. But we are then giving to yourself. That's why we were keeping this exercise again, of saying you, Chair, continue, so that all those issues where we are common, we're able to clarify on both bills.
The question is, what is the agreement? Because we don't know, we don't have that. And I think the Friday meeting was to assist to conclude in writing a report. Because what is this going to write about now? Is it going to write about the different negotiating mandates of the different provinces? I'm saying that's the same thing. And that is the question I agreed with.